Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. There is always a way to get out of debt. Always, always, always. And for people who are in this circumstance, it certainly doesn't feel like that, but there are various options. They have pros, they have cons, but it's so important for everyone to understand that there are ways out. Some of them are really not fun. They have consequences, but there are ways out. So, you know, it can be budgeting. It can be debt consolidation loans. It can be refinancing your home. It could be a debt consolidation plan with a nonprofit credit counselor. And it could be something through a licensed insolvency trustee. And we're going to talk about those two options today. Adam Fisher is a partner at Harrison Partners, which is an insolvency firm. And he's joining us now to talk about the process and how to think through which avenue might be the best for you. Hello there.
Hi, Bruce. Thanks for having me.
We hear this term insolvency. We hear the insolvency statistics and licensed insolvency trustee. What does that word mean?
At its basic core, insolvency means you're unable to pay your debts as it becomes due. As they become due. And that can mean very many different things. It could mean that your liabilities are much more than your assets. It also could mean that you're unable to service even the minimum payments on your debt over time. And there's lots of other warning signs, for instance, that you might be insolvent.
People are dealing with a lot of stress these days. Rising inflation is tough. Rising interest rates is tough. Talk a bit more about when people should pick up the phone and call a firm such as yours in order to find out more about these options. What are the indicators that it's like, yeah, you just need to call them?
Well, I think one of the major indicators is that the mountain of debt that you have is so large that it's going to take forever to pay it off. Right. Other things. You may be looking for other loans. You can't get them. You're having trouble making your minimum payments. You're running a deficit in your monthly income and expense. And the debt is increasing month to month and not decreasing. All of these things can be potential signs that you need to talk to someone. And to be honest, whether it's a great company like Credit Canada or a licensed insolvency trustee, the first call is always gratuitous, and it doesn't hurt to call and find out what your possibilities are.
Yeah. We're going to talk about the two services that the licensed insolvency trustees can work with clients on, the first being consumer proposal, the second being bankruptcy, which people talk about a lot more, even though these days consumer proposals are much more common. What the data is something like 70% or so of filings or consumer proposals. Why is that?
It's really interesting because it's been a complete flip over 20 years. I was looking at the statistics and as of 2022, 76% of the insolvencies filed were consumer proposals. 10 years ago, it was only 39%.
Wow.
And if I was to venture to guess 20 years ago, it would be under 20%. I think there's various reasons that's happening. So one of the reasons why you would file a consumer proposal is to protect assets. A lot of Canadians have houses across the country, maybe not in the GTA, with a little bit of equity and run into debt issues. And in order to protect their home ownership, they could do a proposal. Other reasons are income driven. A bankruptcy could cost exactly the same as a proposal but the proposal allows you to pay over a longer period of time. Mm-hmm. I think there's also a pretty strong view amongst Canadians that they prefer to do a consumer proposal to have everyone get a fair shake in terms of returns and to avoid the stigma of bankruptcy, because the stigma of bankruptcy remains a pretty significant
Sure. Describe the consumer proposal process. So, and we'll talk about criteria in a second, but if someone, this is a fit for someone, you've done the analysis, how does it work?
So the process in the consumer proposal is that, of course, you would go through an interview with hopefully a licensed insolvency trustee or someone that has knowledge on insolvency, and you've made the decision to do the consumer proposal. On day one, we would file the proposal, and then there would be a stay of proceedings. A stay of proceedings is a legal term that means a freeze on all creditor collection actions. It goes from everything from court to them not being allowed to take you into court to they're not allowed technically to do phone calls, creditor phone calls. Although, of course, they do. And then what would happen is we would, as trustee, we would, as the administrator of the proposal, we would send out information to all the creditors about the proposal, and the creditors would have an opportunity to vote. They have 45 days to vote. We need more than 50% to vote in favor. And then there's basically a 15-day appeal period for court approval of the proposal. If no creditors appeal what's gone on, then you get court approval. And then it becomes a matter of making payments. Most consumer proposals are 60 months in length. And once you make those 60 payments that the creditors have agreed to, the debts are extinguished, and the implications of the credit remain, but you don't have to worry about the debts anymore. And in between day one and the end of your payments, the debts are sort of held by the stay of proceedings. I would say, call it in purgatory, or they're frozen.
Right. Purgatory. Ugh, I don't like that word. Let me ask you this. What guides the range of the cents on the dollar that a client is required to pay as a part of those proposals? Because it's not the same every time. For some clients, it's 20 cents on the dollar. For other clients, it's more. How does that get determined?
So there's numerous factors on how it comes determined. And initially, the trustee needs to be looking at what the floor of the payments are. And the floor of the payments, to determine the floor, you have to determine what the creditors would get in a bankruptcy. And there's two places where the creditors would get a return in bankruptcy. The first place is from any assets you have, most commonly amongst Canadians, that would be interest in a house. It could be investments as well. At least they're non-exempt assets. RRSPs, for instance, are an exempt asset. They wouldn't count in that calculation. So the trustee would do a calculation of what your assets are and also what you would pay in a bankruptcy. You pay in a bankruptcy based on your income. The government provides a calculation. They call it a surplus income payment. I like to call it a bankruptcy payment because that's what it is. And because with things so tough, most Canadians say that they don't have any surplus income. And basically we do that the calculation of what you would pay in the bankruptcy, add the assets, that's the floor. And then we have to look at, you know, what the creditors are willing to accept. And it depends on who the creditors are. You know, like a rule of thumb is that roughly a third of the debts is a good amount that the creditors are often willing to accept.
Over that 60 months, they pay that monthly payment, they keep paying it, and the debt portion is complete, but there's a hangover here in terms of the implication for the credit score. How significant is a hit? And how do you address that for clients who wants to have a hit to their credit score? No one does. And that's just a part of how this thing unfolds.
So the consumer proposal and bankruptcy as well. And for that, for probably all of the processes that allow you to get rid of debt, it's a trade-off. The trade-off is how badly you need the relief versus how bad it's going to impact your credit. And basically in a consumer proposal, your credit goes to an R7. It goes to an R7 for the lesser of 6 years from the date you file a proposal or 3 years after the date the proposal is completed. And that is compared to an R9 in bankruptcy, which is in a first-time bankruptcy 6 years after you complete the bankruptcy. The issue is that most Canadians are much more in tune with what the credit score is than what the credit rating is.
Right.
And because it's a secret formula, I can only give you what I believe is, you know, a rough measure of what a consumer proposal does. So when you file a consumer proposal, depending on how strong your score is to begin with, and the stronger it is, the more it's going to fall. Mm-hmm. You're going to lose probably 100 to 200 points.
Right.
After the first distribution is made by the trustee pays the creditors every 12 months until that fifth year is completed, and then they've made all the payments. Each time the trustee makes the distribution, in the right circumstances, the credit score should start to go up slightly. So I think it takes between 12 and 24 months for the credit score to bottom out, and then it goes up very slowly after that. And obviously there's a lot of factors, and I'm talking on experience because as we know, those sort of things aren't known, and I also wonder if that's your experience, producer.
Yeah, it is consistent. It is consistent. One last question before we go here. Credit Canada is a nonprofit credit counselor, licensed insolvency trustees are for profit. How do you frame for clients how you make your money? Do you talk about it like an estate lawyer who charges you a fee for a will, or an accountant who files your taxes? Like, what's the dollar amount that people should have in their mind, and what should they understand about how you make your money?
We're regulated by the federal government, and our fee in a consumer proposal is based on a tariff that the government assigns the proposal. Maybe one of the reasons for the proliferation of proposals is that the government had seemed to want to push people more towards proposals than bankruptcies. And ultimately, one of the ways they've done that is to probably have a better compensation in proposals than bankruptcies. So what happens is the debtor, or the person going through the consumer proposal, would pay an amount into the proposal, and the trustee would have an entitlement from that amount, nothing on top of that, but an entitlement from that amount for the fees. The entitlement is $1,500 plus 20%. So different trustees say different things. I like to believe that, you know what, if there's a fee within the $200 a month or $500 a month that you're paying, you are paying the fee. Some of the trustees frame it as the creditors paying the fee, but the creditors are aware of what the fees are, and they're looking at what the bottom line is to them.
Right. Really interesting stuff. Adam, thank you for your context. I think you and I are both big, big, big believers in people finding out more before they feel like they have no other options so that they can make an informed choice and develop a plan. So I really appreciate you taking the time today.
Okay, thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it as well.
Adam Fisher is a partner at Harris & Partners, an insolvency firm. He was here to talk about the basic insolvency options, consumer proposals, and bankruptcies. But as he said, most of the clients coming to LITs in this country are moving towards a consumer proposal these days.
Hi, it's me, your dad. Look, we need to talk. This isn't working. The missed payments, the collection calls, and all those sleepless nights. We need nonprofit debt counseling, and I found the perfect place. Credit Canada Debt Solutions. They're non-judgmental, 100% confidential. They'll negotiate with creditors and even stop interest. Don't you want to rebuild your credit? You deserve better.
Break up with debt. Visit creditcanada.com.